Welcome, everybody. WayOfTheTruthWarrior.com is the website. We're going to go on a drive with Dave. Got the radio on here. Feeling some 80s vibes. I'm probably going to get nailed for copyright or something. Oh, my God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Cults. We're going to talk today about cults and cult mentality.
Cult.
I hope I'm saying it right. Cult. So you can understand what I mean. Not coats. We're not talking coats. We're talking
cults.
Why do they exist? And why do people join them? Why do these things exist? Why do these things called cults exist? And they're not always called cults. But it's all the same. But why in the bloody hell do they exist on planet Earth? And why, by the beard of Zeus, do people join them? Are you in a cult? Have you been in a cult in the past? Have you seen other people get pulled into cults or cult-like mentality or cult-like behavior? What are we talking about? We have to define it. Now, guys, I'm doing a drive edition here, so I don't have a dictionary in front of me. But I hope that you know what the word cult actually means. And I recommend that you go look it up. Check it out, because it's good to understand what words actually mean. I mean, I think we use a lot of words. We throw a lot of words around, and they're rather empty because they're just a lot of times just things we hear other people say and we kind of get what they mean. But I've found a lot of joy in the discipline of trying to look up words and terms and symbols and trying to understand the subtextual of a thing or of a concept, right? So not just the surface layer, not just what you might think it is. It's what it actually is and why it actually exists. You're trying to get to the root of things. I feel like we live in a world today where a lot of people, sadly, are looking everywhere else, but the root. And I mean, I get it. I mean, that's how you're raised. That's how you're educated in many ways, by the social pressures around you, the mass variety of them. And there's this need, I feel like, especially in modern culture today in the West, where there's this abnegation of responsibility, right, for this. What the fuck am I saying? We're going to cut that out. So cults, like, I mean, you can think of cults like, you know, the Jim Jones cult and the cult of Zion and the, you know, it just, there's always these comedic references to cults and cult leaders. There's this one that I find rather hilarious. It's in the show The Office. Have you ever seen the show The Office? My wife and I get a kick out of that show because we used to work in offices before we freed ourselves from slave jobs and became freedom-loving entrepreneurs. And there was this great reference from the character Creed where he's saying something about cults. It's like a segue, right? And he's just like, oh yeah, cults. I've been a leader, I've been a follower. You make more money as a leader. Something like that. But just check it out. You probably find it on YouTube. Just put in The Office Creed cults. It's pretty funny. Anyways, there's a lot of comedic references to them, but they actually do exist. There's an ancient school of cults, the Dionysian cult, the Atenist cult, the cult of Horus, the cult of Mithras. And there's all these other cults. There's many different cults. They all have their properties. And just, you could kind of interchange religion with the word cult. But the thing is that the word religion also has a double meaning. I don't know if the word cult has a double meaning. I think it's pretty straight up. But religion kind of has a double meaning because you could say that loving grass is my religion. Like loving My family is my religion. Learning how to be a better person is my religion. Martial arts is my religion. Playing the flute is my religion. Because the religion is like a practice of... It's a worldview. And I mean, then there's the other religious aspect of it where there's the cult part of it that comes in where you're now indoctrinated with tenets of a belief system that evoke a cult-like behavior in the followers, and that would be what most people think of when they think of religion. Unless you're a religious person, then you're like, well, that's all the other religions. All the other religions are cults, but mine is not. That's the funny thing. Okay, I'm going to be doing more on this because I grew up watching cult-like behavior from a young age in people around me. I've seen it firsthand. Pretty deep level stuff too. And the difference between honest truth seekers, people who are here to explore this life, explore this world, to think philosophically, to develop empathy and a system of morals, to develop some kind of a worldview and a view of the universe, to come to some kind of clarity and to get on a path of personal discovery and discovery of all the mysteries of this life experience, there's a difference between those people and most religious people, or primarily we could call them cult-like people who have bought into a cult-like mentality. So to me, I'm using the word cult in a very negative sense because I believe that that kind of mentality is akin to a psychological disorder, as it might be called in the scientific cult of today. Because they have all these disorders and classifications and different terms and words. You know, in the ancient times, you call things like witchcraft or heresy or blasphemy or, you know, because anything that doesn't go along with your cult view of the world or your cultish view of whatever the tenets of your thing is, whatever your shtick is, if anybody doesn't adhere to that, they're outsiders from your cult. So it instantly builds all of these walls and division between you and everybody else. And it builds a superiority complex that says, I'm better than everybody else because I know the truth and they don't. It's not the mentality of like, I'm seeking the truth honestly. I really want to know what the hell's going on. I want to know who I am. What the hell's this body? What the frick is my brain? What is consciousness? Do I live after I'm dead? Like, is there reincarnation? Do I go to heaven and a hell? Is it all just a dark room forever? You know, these are all questions that are in the world of cults and religion. And it's very, very powerful because the power that cults have over the average person is that there's this claim to authority on the afterlife. That's usually a good place to start. This is why religion was so easily infected, because it turned away from a philosophical / scientific approach to discovering the truth. And it got turned into cults. Okay? Let's be honest. And we know this to be true, even if you're like a Christian. There's thousands upon thousands of different denominations of Christianity. Meaning, there are honest seekers of truth that like to use the Bible and the stories of Christianity as a reference point for their worldview. And they're just honestly seeking and wanting to connect to a spiritual side of life and a system of morals and to have a guide and an archetypal figure to look up to and all that kind of stuff, although many don't believe it's archetypal. They think it's actually literal. But that's beside the point. I mean, there you go. You've got people that are more on the, you know, I'm into sort of like an esoteric form of Christianity. And then there's other people that are like, I'm a friggin' Baptist, evangelical. And other people know I'm a Catholic. I pray every morning. I take in a sermon on Sundays. I eat the bread and drink the wine. You know, Catholics. And then there's Greek Orthodox. And then there's Protestants and all the splinters of Protestantism. And when you look at something like Christianity, you also see mirrors of that in even in other parts of the world and other religions and other sun cults. Because that's what Christianity is. It's a sun cult. You can call it a positive sun cult or a negative sun cult or a mix of both. Well, this is how most Christians will look at it. I'm using Christianity because we're in the West and you know, it's a pretty dominant religion here. But we could apply this to any one of them. None of them are free of this. Where there isn't just this passive understanding or this acceptance of, oh, that's how you view the interpretation of those holy books and the story of this religion. Oh, good for you. Maybe you've got a point. I don't know. Let's have a talk sometime. It's not really like that. It's, oh, you don't believe this set of rules of my cult? Oh, well, then you're wrong. You're going to hell. You don't know the truth, etc. And then, so within one religion called Christianity, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of different denominations and ways of interpreting the Holy Scriptures. And a lot of that comes from the preachers that get on the stage and represent the Scriptures. So there are as many Christians that I know and love that are very concerned about that there is a lot of chicanery, misinformation, abuse, deception, misunderstandings within their own faith. It's a church that's divided against itself. They're fighting just as hard against each other as they are all the other religions who are, let's move on, are also fighting amongst each other because within there, like Buddhism, how many different forms of Buddhism are there? How many different forms of Islam are there? How many different forms of Hinduism and Sikhism and Taoism and all these isms, all these religions? And you see, I really want to make something very clear. Let's put out a little disclaimer here, guys. Stay with me. I do not want to interfere with the personal, private exploration of an individual that wants to seek out meaning, understanding, connection to the divine, an understanding of this life and the afterlife, and a connection to the universe and to God and all of that. I don't want to stand here and try to critique that, because I actually think that's a very valuable thing, to form your own relationship with some form of spiritual expression, because we're spiritual beings as well. And you can take that spirit word any way you want. I break it down in other episodes as to what I mean about it. I don't have time to really dwell on it here. But essentially, a path that provides all the things we've discussed that I believe many religions and cults have hijacked and twisted and perverted and led people astray. And now people are further than ever before from finding out what they really want to find out, which is why when I grew up, you know, you go to a lot of churches and 90% of the congregation is on psychotropic medications. You know, I didn't see a lot of cohesive relationships between spouses. You know, a lot of bad examples, a lot of very emotionally charged people, people that had a lot of, you could tell, a lot of parental abuse or you know, a single parent situation or weren't accepted or loved by one of the parents. There's that dynamic that's always at play in these religious cult-like circles because it's kind of like what I see as a martial arts instructor, and many martial arts schools also suffer from this. They become cult environments as opposed to environments of learning and free expression and, hey, we just want to get better at martial arts and try to have a vehicle towards self-discovery and self-actualization. That'd be great. But no, it turns into this cult. And so that's religion. All fighting against each other for thousands of years, tearing up the earth, arguing about metaphysical matters. And then I have a bit more respect for the field of philosophy because in philosophy it's looked at, it's in the word, it's in the Greek and Latin word philosophy, philosophia, the love of wisdom, the goddess of wisdom, Sophia. Sophia. I named my second daughter Sophia after that goddess. I hope she's wise. Can you tell? I'm a dad. I'm like, yo, you better grow up to be wise. You're going to be so wise and name you after the goddess of wisdom, for Christ's sake. And so there's a love of wisdom, and there's an understanding that wisdom comes as a result of exploration and deep thinking and considering many points of view and being very eclectic in your approach and looking at it as like an artistic scientist. So the scientist comes in with like, okay, we have the real world, the logical faculties of the brain. We can't just throw them out. That's what a lot of religions and cults try to do. They don't want you to think logically about what they're saying. So that's how they keep their shtick going. That's why you keep paying them. That's why you keep showing up. Because they know there's an abscess. They know you're missing something. And they know our culture is so twisted and toxic. And they're selling you their cult. They want you to come join their cult. Everybody wants to join groups. And that's normal. See, they're taking advantage in a way of a natural inclination of the human being, which is that we're tribal by nature. We like to be in groups. We need social interaction. In the German philosophical system, as Michael has been covering on the Unslaved podcast, you know, you've got basically, you know, the Mitwelt, the Eigenwelt, and the Umwelt, the three spheres of being. And all of those three spheres need attention. You need the right amount of energy and awareness and cultivation of each of those spheres to be a whole being. And that's what makes you happy and fulfilled and whole and complete and in connection with nature and the divine simultaneously. When you recognize that you're an expression, you're the microcosm or the macrocosm. Like that's more philosophical stuff. To me, that sounds a little more plausible because it's open. It's like, we're not trying to name it. We're not trying to put a date on it. We're not trying to literalize it. We're just trying to understand this. So I'm not picking on people that are using religion as a vehicle to express that journey through. We all go through it. I've been through it. I used to believe things 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago about certain matters that I no longer believe because I've continued the investigation. Because I have a deep interest of it and I'm a little bit crazy. And I continued the investigation into these things and came out on the other side with really more questions than ever I went in, you know, with. It's easy. As one of the Jehovah Witnesses that came to my door the other, you know, not long ago, said to me, it's simple. It's just simple. You read the book, you do what the book says, and then you go to heaven. Like, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's simple, and it's. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to insult you, but it's built for simple-minded people that don't really like to think outside the box. It's scary. It's hard to go through this process of questioning what you think you know. And we do need some kind of grounding. We can't just be, we can't go like drive ourselves crazy. I think many philosophers did drive themselves crazy. Many thinkers, many people, you can drive yourself mad going down this. But there's a certain value, there's definitely a value to it. And there's definitely a value to being open to the fact that, hey, maybe I'm wrong. And in a cult, you're not ever really permitted to be open to being wrong, which means you're not permitted to grow. And then you end up being stunted in your growth. And then when you really talk to people that are deeply, deeply invested in a particular cult, and I'll give some more examples in a minute, because this cult word can encompass so many things, because it's a psychological behavior expressed through what we call being part of a cult. Anyways, we'll get there. We're all trying to go on this path of exploration. There are so many varieties, or endless varieties of explanations for things and ways of seeing the world and ways of seeing the self, ways of seeing morality, that one can get lost in the woods. So most people don't even contemplate it, and that's why the cult of scientism, and I'm differentiating scientism from actual real legit science. There is legit science. There's a place for science. We're not knocking science as a methodology. In fact, religion and science should marry each other and have babies, okay? Instead of fighting each other and getting a divorce. We need to align the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. We've talked about this many times before. And that's why this is when you start thinking holistically, and that's when you activate the philosophical level of thinking. If you really want to get into this stuff, you got to watch Path of the Fool. It's legit. It's so good, and it's deep, and it's like a lot of big words, and it's very, very academic, but it's so friggin', oh my God, it's so it'll take you on a journey that you've never been on before. And you'll realize you're on this journey whether you are part of a cult or not. So, fine, be a part of a cult for a while. See how that goes. And I do believe there's these sort of like people, there's these people that are within cults that they're well-meaning. They're actually very intelligent. They're very smart. They probably have a high IQ. And you can tell they're very sincere about what they're doing. They're not trying to mask anything. They're not, you know, maybe they've got some subliminal reasons for why. Obviously, they got subliminal reasons for why they decided to pick a certain cult to just say, hey, yeah, I'm part of this team. I'm wearing the t-shirt. I repeat the mantras and I go to this building and I worship this whatever named God. I mean, but there are well-meaning, very intelligent, very smart people and very kind people. There are those people in all of these religions and in many of these cults. There are well-meaning people. It's kind of hard to just paint everybody with one big gray brush, or black and white brush. So when you recognize that, you will meet people that are they seem very rational, very put together, they have very good arguments. Like, I grew up watching debates. I grew up watching religious debates because I had a very deep curiosity in religion. If you ever want to talk religion, I'm your guy. I have a chapter and verse. I've done this for a long time. I have a deep interest in it. I've studied both the surface level and the subtextual level, otherwise known as the esoteric and the exoteric level of religion, in many different religions. But what I'm always looking for is the behavior and the motivations that drive, the drives behind the people that are part of cults. There are other cults. Let's leave religion aside for a second and let's move on. You could even call consumerism a cult. You could call the fashion industry a cult. I only wear Gucci. I only wear Prada. And it has to be this and it has to be that. Like, I only shop at The Gap. I shop at Walmart only. Like, whatever it is. You join these corporations. They create a church-like building. Notice, like, look at these buildings. They're massive. They're built in a very specific way on very specific, in very specific areas of cities. They have a brand that they want you to become a part of, so they want you to join their cult so that you'll keep coming and purchasing their goods. This is just one way of looking at it, okay? I'm not against business. I'm not against building a brand. I've developed my own brand. Way of the Truth Wear, that's a brand. I'm going to have some t-shirts and stuff. Like, I'm not knocking the act of doing business. I'm saying that, obviously, this is just a universal understanding amongst the top CEOs that have, you know, psychologists on staff, and you know, they're looking to try to sell their product and promote their brand, you know, and maybe they have a really good product and it's great and it's and you're happy and it's a win-win. You decided you chose to pay for it and you got something out of it, you know. You know, like I like Spotify as my music app. That's the cult I joined. You know, so when I see a Spotify ad or I see a Spotify thing, I'm like, oh yeah, I really like Spotify. They treat me well. This is not a plug, guys. I'm just using it as an example. And other people are like, no, I like iTunes. I like Apple Music. I like Apple Music. It's better. It works better for me. I'm a Mac person, so it works better. There's reasons we join these little things. But let's never forget for a minute that that's a very appropriate model for people that have maybe ulterior motives or less than virtuous motives, less than honest motives, to sort of hypnotize you into their little fold and sell you their, not just their product, but maybe an idea. There's an idea they want to sell you. Like, think of that snake in the Jungle Book. Ka, the snake. I liked the new Jungle Book. They did a good job. I think it was Scarlett Johansson played Ka. It was sick. Anyways, that character, the serpent. It's interesting they made it. They made the serpent male in the Disney version, the cartoon version, and then they made Ka, the serpent, a female, feminine character, like a dark, deceptive goddess character in the new Jungle Book. Let's not get off topic here. I'm just using this character because there's a hypnotization process that happens as he tries to strangle you to death so he can eat you, or she. And that's sort of what cults do and many religions do. They lure you in. They lure you in with psychological hooks. They know your psychology, your psyche, inside, forward, and backwards. And you don't know it. So you're at a severe disadvantage. So you're walking out in the world going, yeah, I'd like that product. Hey, that's a pretty reasonable idea. Yeah, sure, okay. And then it escalates. Okay, I'll wear the costume. Okay, I'll get on my knees. Okay, I'll repeat the mantras. Okay, I'll become... I'll leave myself at the door and just become hyper-collectivized and extroverted and start believing in things that I can't really verify and then it rises to the next level of, well, then, because I'm doing it, no one else is doing it, then everybody else must be wrong and I'm right. So we've got religions and we've got, you know, corporations and things like that, certain corporations. And there are corporations that do work ethically and with integrity, but there are many that don't. And so, and it's like there are many churches. I've met many priests and pastors and gurus and stuff that are very noble and they mean well and they actually do a lot of good in their community and they do more good than harm. But I've more often than not seen the other way around. And let's not even talk about the damage that's done psychologically to the person that's asked to just like open up their head, pull their brain out, put it on the counter and say, here, you do it. Close it, and then they just sort of like fill it with a bunch of stuff and then give it back to you and you put it back in your head and now you're this disciple of this cult and now you're out there judging and pointing fingers at everybody else and developing a superiority super ego based complex which you use to psychologically project onto everybody else around you. And that is when things get toxic. So that's what I watch for. That's the sign. I don't care what the cult is. It could be flat earth. Could be friggin' extreme leftism, communism, Christianity, Islam, friggin' Starbucks. There's so many different cults. So we know these sort of cults are out there, some more benign than others, some more malignant than others. But the real question is, why do people keep buying into cults? Why do people keep lining up and completely giving their entire self over to something? Not out of a spirit of just genuine curiosity or wanting to find the truth and being open-minded and going on the process of a philosophical scientific journey, but with the intention of filling a void and masking some pain and feeling loved. You know, there's a need to feel loved. We've got to talk about this. There's a need in every human being, and it's a legitimate need, but it is based primarily in the ego in many ways. I'm not one of those people that says the ego is all bad. There's a place for it. Okay, there has to be a harmony between all the parts of your being. But let's be honest, you know someone that's involved in a cult. And you can see that their behavior is not logical, it's not rational, it's not reasonable in many areas. It might be in other areas, because we do have sort of doorways in the mind, so you can close certain doors and open others. So they could be an incredible genius in one area and then just dumb as a bag of hammers in another area. We all have those areas, right? So let's be honest, we're all guilty of this. We're all like moths to the flame with these kinds of things. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I've fallen for these things too. And who knows, maybe I'm still falling for it. But like, you got to check yourself and ask yourself, what version do you want to be? What, like, why do you want to... are you just dying so much for that recognition, for that group connection, for that I want to be on a team and I want my team to win mentality? Like, think of hockey teams, think of football teams, think of sports, think of rock bands. Just think of all these little things that you can get pulled into and you can... And not to say that it's not good to have role models. It's not good to love bands or love certain things. Like I said, maybe you like a particular kind of jeans just because they fit nice and they look good and you like them and you don't really care about the whole branding. I'm just going to bow before my knees for a pair of jeans and the designer of the jeans. Like, you know, jumping up and down, having a friggin' heart attack when the designer walks by and you want his autograph. Like, you know, you're not over the top. You're not immature about it. That's different. But when you sell your soul for it, and your sanity and your reason for it. And you, by doing that, sell your personal responsibility to yourself away, and then ultimately that means you give yourself away. You've just become the victim of sorcery, my friend. To bring a medieval term into the mix. So, there's a lot of psychological components that come into why people join cults. Like, in my opinion, this flat earth thing is a cult. You might have genuine, very intelligent people in there that are just tourists that are looking through and browsing and maybe considering it and being open-minded to it and just using it as a way. Maybe they just desperately need a counter-argument so that they can really start to figure out. Because, you know, we've been lied to in so many things, and there's so many mysteries in the world, and there's so many things we're trying to discover. And, I mean, if you look at the average debate out there between different religious people or different flat earther versus spherical people, believing in spheres, what do they call them, globe heads? Just pick a topic, my God. The debates last for hours, and nothing gets resolved. Creationists versus Darwinists, never gets resolved. Still going on, flaming, going, you know, both sides keep making great points and it's just never resolved. Although both sides feel that they're resolved. Because we believe, we at some point, we just say, I believe this. We all do it. Some more than others. And so, if you don't address the psychological hooks and the skeletons in your closet, and you don't address the drives that are there, the reasons why, the root reason why... you're deciding to go into this cult as opposed to being on a true free path towards truth and self-discovery. Then you can get swept away. Then you can sell your soul and your mind away in the process, as many great thinkers warned about. Like Ayn Rand called it, there were two priest classes. The one priest class was the priest class of spirit, and the other was that of muscle. So it was basically the religious groups and then the government state organized groups, these socialists, communists, whatever, that were all selling you the same thing. They were selling you a cult. And by buying into the cult, you gave up yourself and you sold your soul. Even though they're telling you that to go the other way is to sell your soul. That heaven and hell are external things, and that's something you're going to face when you're dead. See, they've got you by the balls in the afterlife, so it's really hard to argue with that. And when you've been raised with it and indoctrinated with it, it's very hard to leave. And I've watched it happen. Hi there.
I have one headlight.
Yes, I'm aware. It literally just went out. I'm like 10 minutes from home.
Okay,
thanks
awesome.
For letting me know. I appreciate
you're
it. Cheers. So, yeah, I just got warned that my headlight went out, so that happened on the show, guys. I'm going to leave it in. All right, so when it comes to trying to resolve this in yourself, it's a scary thing to actually not be a part of a cult. Think about that. You know, regardless if the cult is one of those Kool-Aid drinking ones, extreme, you know, letting snakes bite you shit, or if it's just something that you've allowed to control your mind and to control your worldview as opposed to help you, you're going to lose yourself. And think about that warning in the Bible. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? Remember that one? I think I've just recently brought it up. Why is this one on my mind lately? I think it's just because it's a good statement. I don't care what. I have respect for many aspects of the Bible. But I also have my critiques. There are many. Because that's where I'm at. See, I've formed my own personal relationship with what you could call God. I don't need it to be interpreted through some ancient scripture, although it can help. But it can also lead you astray from what even the Christ figure in the Bible said to do. I've listed off those things before. And it would be the same for all these religions and cults. But there are many cults that are very, very pernicious, man. They're like, they really indoctrinate people. Like, just watch some Benny Hinn stuff. Like, that's some extreme stuff. There's these book burnings and stuff. There are racist cults. Extreme cults. There are many different cults. And I feel like, even though they're all different and they're all fighting with each other, they're all the same. It's the same pattern. It's the same modus operandi. These things have been around for thousands of years. It's so old, it's new. And so you can't talk about cults and why they exist and why people fall for it without talking about freedom. Maybe freedom is your religion. And you're seeking truth, and you realize that to seek truth, you need the freedom to seek truth. And freedom isn't always taken away by other people. Freedom is you signing on the dotted line. Or sorry, the giving up, the abdication of freedom is you signing on the dotted line and agreeing somewhere along the line. And participating. And if even if it's passively, or even if it's just a little bit, there's an agreement. There's a master-slave dynamic, as Michael has pointed out so many times in his work. Michael Tsarian, for those that don't know what I'm talking about. Unslaved.com. Come check us out. This man is my mentor and friend, and I thoroughly respect many of his points on this. I've learned a lot, and what's always important is to look at many sources of information, of brilliant minds that have thought about these things long and hard, well before you've been alive thinking about them. So pay respect to the past, and pay respect to yourself by appreciating freedom and learning to love freedom, because that's where it starts. Because as human beings, we desire freedom. There might be certain instances where we give up certain elements of freedom, like full freedom, in order to work with others. For example, I don't have the freedom to kill you. I don't have the freedom to steal from you. I don't have that kind of freedom. Because if we want to live peacefully, the freedom that we have to fight for is the freedom to do as you will so long as you do no harm. If we respect that, what else do you need? And freedom is not always going to be given to you by the world and the system and the society around you. In fact, most of the time, it's going to try to steal it from you, take it away from you. So freedom is internal, and it's attitudinal, and it has to do with you loving freedom. And the first place to be free is in your thinking. And you can also become free in your movement of your body. That is a skill and an art form that can be expressed in many different forms, such as dance or gymnastics or martial arts or throwing javelins, you know, who knows? There's many different physical expressions. Skating. Music. You know, making music, you're moving. There's movement happening. It's very alive, very interactive. We just spoke about this in the recent Unslaved episode with Mark Malone. Fantastic episode. I loved doing that episode, so go check that out. Unslaved.com. And we're talking about the movement thing. There's movement of thought and movement of movement, real physical movement. There's even a movement culture. There's a movement cult out there. Hopefully they're just trying to get together to learn forms of movement, and it shouldn't become this big cult where it's like, I am now a part of this. See, so there's a fine line. We all need a path. We all need an expression. We all need a vehicle. We need a way. You know, I like the Taoist approach where it's the way. It's the way of no way. It's like Bruce Lee used to talk about martial arts. It's the art of fighting without fighting. People are like, what the hell are you talking about? That sounds like a contradiction. But no, it's a Zen koan. It's the art of fighting without fighting. It's the art of moving without moving. It's the art of thinking without thinking. He's talking about freedom, guys. He's talking about equilibrium. He's talking about reaching mastery. Being an artist. An artist of life. And an artist has to be free. See, because if you just give an artist a bunch of stencils and you're always reading by the sheets, always painting by numbers, you're not going to really produce much. And you're definitely not going to produce something authentic like some of these Beethovens and some of these great rock bands and some of these great artists that have changed culture and history and the world forever. You're definitely not be on the level of those, the genius level, if you just paint by numbers all the time. But there's a validity to the number painting system in the beginning. It's like, we're all growing up. We're all going through a stage of growth. So you need a system in the beginning. You need some controls there. You need some training wheels. You need some stencils. You need someone holding your seat on your bike in the back and making sure you don't fall over. You got to learn balance first. But once you learn balance, let her rip. Become free. So freedom is there as a potential, but it's something you create through mastering yourself and exploring and discovering yourself. Because as you explore and discover yourself, as the ancient mystics would have said, the good ones anyways, you're exploring the universe, you're exploring God, you're exploring the Tao, you're exploring the divine, the Brahman, the Sophia, you're exploring all these different things. That's why it's a precious journey. That's what all the great Christ figures and Buddhas and all that were telling you. Some of it made through the translations and the editing process that we use for political reasons. And that's the big thing, guys, isn't it? That these cults are used and cult-like behavior is created and influenced into the general population by certain groups of very, very smart people that just want to gain a power differential. Because they know it's like an easy game. If you can pull the wool over someone's eyes, you have the advantage. Like, I think about what I'm doing in jiu-jitsu. I just got back from some rolling. And the idea is you can't just go straight in and grab a kimura. Like, you have to set it up and fake them out and make them think you're doing something else and then switch into it at the last second. Like, that's how you get it. You deceive. It's the art of sort of deception. That's how a smaller person can gain the advantage over a stronger, bigger person. Through deception. So if you're a small group of people that desire power and influence and money and whatever the hell else, control, and, you know, then these religious groups and cults and creating new ones, I mean, these are all just part of your toolkit. If that's the kind of psychopathic person that you are, you're a control freak and you have no empathy for the rest of the people around you and you just want control above all else. And so these are the cult leaders. These are the cult creators. And so we have to be aware of that. It's a reality in the modern world, and it's obviously was a huge reality in the ancient world as well. And that's why it's great that we have so many people speaking about this topic, and maybe they don't use the word cult. Maybe they're just focusing on one thing, one aspect of this, but they're helping to illuminate the idea for you that this is a problem. This has devastating effects on your development as a human being, on your spiritual journey. On your path of selfhood and self-discovery and self-actualization and accessing your potential. It definitely has huge implications for freedom, because now you're giving up freedom to become a slave to a master, as opposed to becoming friends and walking with something, being open-minded. And there's trying to really grasp this. Take the time. You know, explore all these religious ideas or these philosophical ideas or these different brands, or like, you know, like with something as stupid as your jeans, maybe you try a certain pair of jeans for a while and you go, you know what, I really don't like this cut of jean, I don't like this brand, I'm going to try a different brand, this one's just not working out for me, I got long skinny legs or whatever, I can't really, you know, or there's reasons why we do these things. But don't forget that there are traps that are set, there's bait that are put into the hook to pull you in, using the abscess that is inside of you, the void that is inside of you, playing on your fear. That's a huge one. That's why they're always, all cults are trying to get you to trade your freedom for the illusion of security. That's the ultimate goal, because that's how you disempower somebody. If you disempower somebody by not allowing them, or not, it's not allowing them, you disempower somebody by sort of talking them out of their autonomy, talking them out of their freedom, in exchange for this illusion of protection. And there might even be some real protection for a while, but you'll start to realize that if it is something that's more malign, it's going to be like a vampire. It's going to be very attractive, very charming. It's going to know all the right things to say to you. You're going to be drawn to it, and you're going to be actually begging it to allow you to become its slave. And what would put a person into that kind of level of thinking? A complete and total breakdown of a person's self-esteem, self-respect, self-knowledge, self-awareness, self-love. An offering up of all logic and reason. Many times ignoring your intuition even. Feeling like you're going with your intuition. There's many people that tell me that. Oh, I'm just going with my intuition here. I'm like, oh, really? Are you? Or are you going by your psychological drives? The hidden persuaders in your own mind that are just being played like a harp by these master persuaders, you know? These master cultists that have a very, very deep understanding of how your psyche ticks. This is thousands of years in the making. Some of it willingly done, some of it knowingly done by individuals and groups of people over the years, and some of it just a process of the human experience and human stupidity. And, you know, when you have people that have had traumatic experiences that have happened, they're raised in a sick, toxic culture, there's no cornerstone or grounding of being given to them at a young age. There's no philosophical higher level thinking or holistic thinking. There's no whole brain thinking. Then those kinds of people are perfect candidates for these cults that prey on fear, insecurity, weakness, and the desire to be safe, and the desire to put all of your responsibilities to yourself on the table, into the donation plate, into the tithing plate, to say, hey, here, let me just throw my brain in there while you're passing that thing around, while I'm paying you to indoctrinate me. And we pay for our enslavement in so many different ways, guys. And it's not just all on the big geopolitical stage either. It's also in just your intimate relationships with your spouses, your friends, the people around you, your circles, your cults, your groups, your teams, whatever teams you're on, whatever philosophies you like to say, yeah, that sounds right to me. I'm going to carry the flag to the death with this one, you know, and start trolling the hell out of everybody that disagrees with me, because I'm right and they're wrong. So I'm here to encourage you guys to think about this. You can agree, you can disagree, it doesn't really matter. Do something with this information. And when you recognize how much power you have, that you don't have to be a slave, that the worst form of slavery is psychological, that's the causal world that produces the slavery we see physically happening. And I would consider many of these cult groups of slaves. Slaves to ideals. And there's a difference between being a slave and being a servant. There's one thing I've learned from the warrior tradition. It's that there's a difference between being a slave and being a servant. And it's like, what are you a servant to? Well, I'm a servant to truth. I'm a servant to making this commitment to myself, the truth at all costs, even if it's possibly costing me a little bit of my emotional leanings, you know? And so I want to encourage you guys to think outside the box, to use your reason, to combine it with your intuition. That's a very powerful combination. To constantly be a seeker. The old saying goes, don't ask the person, or if you want to know the truth, ask the person seeking it. Don't ask the person who's found it. You know, we're talking big, you know, big truths here, you know? Obviously, if you're like, is it raining outside? What's the truth about that? Just go look out the window. Find out the truth for yourself. It's different. I'm talking about these big metaphysical truths and subjects that are dealt with by cults and religions. And then even those little itty-bitty cults that are just things that we all sort of get involved with because we just need to identify with something. There's nothing wrong with needing to identify with a group in a way, and a community and a family and an ideal and standing for something. That's actually fundamental to our development as human beings. It's part of what we are. The question is, how do you arrive at that? And what is it that you're actually fighting for? Is it legit? Or is it a cult? And the problem with being involved in a cult is you don't know you're involved in a cult. That's the sucky part. So if you want to get good at spotting this, you have to develop the mind of a detective. You have to sort of start to analyze yourself in a deep level. Be very honest with yourself. You have to analyze others. It's like that old Kung Fu maxim. Look beyond the surface. See what is real in yourself and in others. That's how you find out the truth. Observation. And then keep going on the journey. You're gonna keep growing up, and your brain's gonna keep developing and changing. And don't let everything get all calcified up in there too soon. You know, like, try to loosen up once in a while. Movement of the body and movement of thought. That's health. Watch flowing water. Just observe flowing water. And still water too. But flowing water is a good example because it never goes bad. It's always cleaning, cleansing itself. It's fluid. It's moving. It goes through a cycle. Keep your body flowing. Be like water. Think like water. Move like water. And when you do that, your life becomes your own. And then you're like, well, now what, Dave? God, I'm here all by myself. And all I can say is it's good to have some time to yourself. We're so surrounded by other people's thoughts, we don't even know how to differentiate others' thoughts from our own thoughts. And that's a problem, because now you don't even really know where you stand. You just sort of glide through and kind of make assumptions everywhere. And it's a very hard thing, and we all do it, and it's just part of the thing, part of the process. But you have to try to improve. You have to try to work on this. If this is what you want, if you want to start really connecting to something that's real, finding some happiness and joy and learning how to be a holistic person, which will bring you more success in all areas of your life. It's not easy, but it's friggin' worth it, you know? So get away from cults, cult-like behavior. It's easy to spot. It's incredibly hostile. It's very divisive. It's very fear-based. It is based on the fact that there's a loss of meaning from the individual. So they'll often communicate to you that, well, the reason this is the truth is because it brings meaning, and it actually has answers, and it makes you feel good, and you're accepted for who you are, and you're loved. You're loved. That's where cults come in. That's the poison. It's that the honey that they pour in your ear to draw you in. And then, like the Medusa, or like the goddess think it comes from the Mother Circe, right? She lures you in to her abode and then eats your ass. So watch out for the spider's web. It's getting spun all around you. Stay free, my friends. Stay free. Talk soon. Catch you guys on the flip side.